This is the problem. Take a pair of scales of the old-fashioned type.
Now, it's easy to assume that things don't change much over time. For example, in the air we breathe, there's about 21% oxygen. Surely, there's always been oxygen in the air. Well, actually, if you pick a big enough slab of time, you can find periods when there was hardly any oxygen. Now, our Earth coalesced into existence about 4.5 billion years ago. It's very difficult to explore that far back in time, but we are getting closer to working out the story of oxygen. This story is a complex mixture of geology and biology, of rocks and life, with chemistry and physics thrown in. It's pretty certain that from about 4.5 billion years ago to about 2.7 billion years ago, there was hardly any oxygen in the atmosphere. But about 2.7 billion years ago, it seems that some blue-green algae invented photosynthesis. These creatures could turn sunlight into energy. And they also squirted out a waste product, oxygen. But despite their efforts, the levels of oxygen in the atmosphere hardly rose at all for the next 300 million years. The oxygen was being mopped up by volcanic hydrogen sulfide and methane, and kept on reacting with these gases for a colossal 300 million years. And finally, beginning about 2.4 billion years ago, we had the first great oxygenation event. A great slow surge in oxygen levels up to about 2% that took about 100 million years to complete. Now that 2% oxygen is not much compared to our current 21%, but it was huge compared to what had come before. But there was a problem. The methane was a powerful greenhouse gas and had been keeping the Earth warm. You see, the sun was a lot weaker back then. Yep, so about 2.3 billion years ago, the Earth did get oxygen, and the Earth also cooled down so much that it turned into a giant snowball for about 300 million years. There was virtually ice from pole to pole. About 2 billion years ago, the big freeze finished. The Earth warmed up, and over the next 200 million years, the oxygen levels dropped to almost zero, before recovering to roughly their previous level of around 2%. We're not exactly sure why this happened, but it seems to involve a complicated dance of chemistry and physics, of rocks and plants. And then, beginning about 1.8 billion years ago, the oxygen levels stayed fixed at 2% for about a billion years, a period known as the Boring Billion that lasted about one quarter of the age of our planet. The oceans were like stinking sewers, which fits in with the name of Boring Billion. But the latest theory is that the stinky oceans were actually the crucible, the cradle of life. Life evolved many strange experiments. Red algae, green algae, lichens, and so on. So the Boring Billion years was, in reality, not so boring. And then, about 750 million years ago, the Boring Billion changed. For the next 100 million years, the oxygen levels climbed in a series of dramatic jumps, and with each jump, the Earth froze and turned into a snowball. But this time, there was no going back. Oxygen levels kept on going up, and never again went down to 2%. Now, over the reign of the dinosaurs, the oxygen levels varied enormously, from much lower than today's levels to much higher. At the beginning of the reign of the dinosaurs, about 230 million years ago, the oxygen levels were lower than today's levels, only about 12 to 16%. But by around 200 million years ago, it had rocketed to about 27%, and by the time of the big asteroid that rocked the dinosaurs, it had reached around 31%. The dinosaurs that lived with extra oxygen in the air would almost certainly have benefited from it. It would have given them more speed and endurance. These more recent dinosaurs, living in air with 31% oxygen, would have been really pumping. They would have had quite different oxygen metabolism in their cells as compared to the early dinosaurs that had to survive breathing air that carried oxygen levels of only 16%. Now, of course, the oxygen levels in the air affect your body. A level of 16% is enough to keep you alive, but you won't think very clearly. It's roughly the level in the air that you breathe out as you exhale, and it will keep another person alive in mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And it's also about what you get as a passenger in a jet. But you'll be relieved to learn that the pilot and co-pilot get better air with more oxygen, so they can think more clearly and you can breathe easier.
What does it mean? Why is it so?